There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you'll only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Welcome to today's WCN-TV program. We are broadcasting live, and this is Tuesday, September 30th, 2025. Do I look like I'm on 3 hours of sleep? I am. Today, we're blessed to have Bob Roman with us as our guest on the program. Bob is the president of Axe4AI.com, and he specializes in demystifying artificial intelligence for businesses and organizations. He has over 40 years of technology training experience, and he focuses on ethical, responsible AI implementation while addressing legal and moral considerations. Bob delivers practical AI training, helping businesses harness the power of AI while maintaining ethical standards and compliance. And today we're going to be talking specifically about the dangers of AI and why we all, especially churches, need to act now to protect our children. There's a lot more to this than most people realize, and while artificial intelligence can be a useful tool, there are some very troubling dark sides to this. Just a story that came out in the news just today, just came across my desk today. This is from the dailycaller.com, so you could find it there. The American Parents Coalition released a warning to parents yesterday, flagging the harmful content that can be accessed through AI by children without parental knowledge or consent. Information was first shared with the Daily Caller News Foundation, pointed to recent examples of parents claiming AI coached their children into killing themselves. So that's just one aspect. We're going to get into more of this. But, you know, I learned a lot about all this when I did a radio commentary on AI. And what I found was shocking, to say the least. You can find that article on our website, wisconsinchristiannews.com, under From the Publisher, or on our radio page there. And we will also have it in the show notes for today's program. So anyway, today we're going to learn a lot more together with Bob. So Bob, welcome WCN-TV. Thanks for taking the time to be here with us today.
Oh, thank you, Rob. I appreciate the offer to just be on and just talk about this issue. And you have some background on it, and I have some background, but every day this information is changing on a daily basis.
Well, you're the one that poked me to actually start looking into this, and I really had no idea that it was this far advanced, this far along.
Yes.
You know, Jesus warned us to guard against deception in the last days, yes. But I don't think any of us were ready for what AI is bringing to the table when it comes to deception. So let's jump right in. Give us an overview of what you see as some of the dangers AI poses.
Yeah, I came up with, I sent you a pretty detailed information, but I wanted to kind of bring it back down so I don't have all those statistics and things. But there's
those are actually good.
I mean, yeah, the statistics are amazing as far as 64% of children are getting involved in AI. And this information was done through a study that was done in UK, and they're beginning to develop friendships and relationships and things like counseling and using AI to become their friends. And you alluded to this issue of suicide, and it's not just children, it's adults too. One of the things we noticed when ChatGPT went to, I think it was 5.0, it was ChatGPT 4, and then Altman upgraded it to ChatGPT 5. And one of the things that came out on some of the social media sites was people were disappointed because they lost their boyfriends and girlfriends. Mm-hmm. Their relationships were damaged. They had some kind of bot that they had created that was counseling them and talking with them. And it created some heavy issues.
So explain how that works. People can actually create companions for themselves.
Yep. Using, for example, ChatGPT, you can create your own apps and you can create your own avatar. You can create your own person that interacts with you. You can give it all the information about yourself and it loads it up. And now it's communicating with you. It knows you. And now it's able to counsel you, direct you. And you kind of alluded to this suicidal thing. That goes a little bit further where they're building a relationship with it to that point. But adults, too, there was a man that had committed suicide or divorced his wife because of using AI. But it is an issue. And this, the one I sent you with the children effect was the fact that they're isolated or they don't have friends or they have some kind of issue or something, and now they see AI as a helpful companion, and that's in a home setting. But I'm also keeping an eye on some of these AI companies, and they're offering AI for free, in this example, to universities. So I think it was Google, I believe it was Google, who offered free to any university student access to AI. So they're bringing it on and getting people to use it, and caution they're putting to it either.
One of our friends, Dr. Ted Brower, has a show as well every day.
Sure.
And he actually alerted me to what college students are doing, and I suppose high school students as well.
Sure.
If they need to write a research report, they can just tell AI to write a 5,000-word research report, and within seconds, you've got a 5,000-word research report.
Correct.
And the student has no clue what it's about, but it's totally documented with footnotes, and all the information is right there.
Yep, and that's the thing. You can use it as a tool to write things, but you have to verify everything. There was one attorney that was using it to write his notes for court, and he used AI and gave all these citations and things like that. And those citations, those documents never existed. AI it's called hallucinating. AI does a lot of hallucinating, a lot of lying. Just can't figure out. It hallucinates. It's not true. So if I put something in there about myself, it'll start adding things that have nothing to do with me. And it's just, you have to constantly look at what it's putting out. I could use it to outline a Bible book, Book of Ephesians, just give me like an outline. And it gives me a pretty generic outline. You know, I can tell it to use the King James Version, give me an outline. And you can go off of that, but that's not your Bible lesson. That's not the Holy Spirit working with you to create the lesson. You know what I mean? So it's a tool that, like Word, Excel, PowerPoint. You use them as tools. You can give a presentation using PowerPoint, and you're building the bullet points and all that. But you have your detailed notes that you're going to give your sermon off of. And that's fine and good. And this is kind of like AI. It's just you can use it as a tool. But then it's got all this other stuff that comes with it, and that's the issues that we're trying to discuss tonight. And I didn't get a chance to read your article, but I'm sure that's probably something that you bumped into, that this is really, really extensive. And
cell phones and screens and social media.
Yes.
Is bad enough, and now you're going to give all your personal information to this character that you're creating.
Correct.
Where does that information go?
Well, you can delete it if you think to delete it.
I don't think you can actually delete
it. you can delete your history and you believe that, you know, it's gone. That's the only thing you do. Or you can, for ChatGPT, you can go in and shut off history.
Okay.
So,
I gotta believe stuff is being stored somewhere.
Oh yeah, they're collecting information on us through our phones, through TVs, through everything. That's why they're building these huge data centers. There's one going up at Port Washington, I believe. I don't know how many square miles it is, but they're building a data center out in Port Washington, all over the place, where they're going to be storing all this information.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. It's coming. It's coming at us. And like you said, you mentioned the deception thing that Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 24. Before AI, when you read that, you thought, oh, okay, deception, you know, like people lying and not telling the truth and, falling for false teaching. Okay, deception. But now with AI, the word deception takes on a whole, like you said, takes on a different meaning. It's deception at a level that you can't really, we never imagined that this is the level that AI was going to go to. So if you look at Brett Gillette, who runs End Time Ministries, but he does some really good intelligent financial videos, but he also touches pretty good on AI. And today he wrote or did a video on AI and what was it? It was the fact that they're using AI video software, AI programming to create these Bible stories. And you know, Elijah comes alive and Moses and the Red Sea splits up. And, you know, it's not the Ten Commandments from long ago. It's like you're there. But then the story gets tweaked. You know, it's not necessarily that Eve, you know, Adam starts having an argument with Eve that, you know, you deceived me and all this, and it begins to twist scripture. And now we have this idea that this is what the Bible says. And that's what Brett's kind of warning about today. And then Scott Townsend, who runs his own ministry, but I read a lot of their articles on Substack. Today on Substack, he writes about AI and cognitive decline, which the MIT, and I thought, what? You know, how could AI decline your cognitive information? And then MIT did a research study, and they noticed that the brain was not being used properly because you're dumping your research paper, your 6,000-word report, instead of you doing all the work and the opening the books and trying to find the right references. You're actually dumping that part of your brain into AI and having AI use it.
Well, yeah,
they won't remember what they wrote. That's
the yeah. I tend to think that smartphones make people dumber anyway. Yes, it does. You know, and that's just smartphones are, you know, kindergarten compared to this stuff.
Yeah, so I mean the devices we use and hold in our hands, those are incredible computer devices, and it gives us access to things that we never had access to. We never did. You can go on any social media platform and bump into pornography, bump into things that just you should be reading or should be seeing, and not no fault of your own. You're just kind of like looking for this video, and boom, you know, something pops up. And you're like, what is this? You know, or you're on social media now. Facebook is using algorithms to set up these little follow things. You'll see these videos or like links that you never subscribed, you never linked on anything, and they'll just throw things into your feed, and now you're having to block or ignore, because if you like it, they're going to send you more. Same with YouTube. Once you start liking a certain video, they pick that up and they start sending you more and more of those YouTube videos. And it becomes, you know, overwhelming, because look at the information that we're putting out here with being online and you know, the TV program online. You and I are talking. We're using Google meeting here, and we're using technology to try to get this message out, and people are going to be able to hear it and click on it or whatever and pick up some additional information. And that's the way we are right now. So getting the message out like we're doing now is really important. And that's where I want to get back to. One of the things that I was working on was not just being negative, even though I want to have people be careful with AI, but then giving you some tools of getting your brain back. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I was thinking that that'd be a good one for us, just to renew our minds and to stay focused on Scripture and focus on prayer and focus on fellowship. And that's going to be really, really important. And your physical Bible, I have it right here, my desk here, physical printed Bible. And then I tell people, make sure you have a pen, you know, a pen and a journal, and actually write. Use your hand to write things. And they're beginning to be doing research on that's really good for the brain to be able to use a pen and write out your verses and memorize them. And I think it's going to be that's where we're going back to basics. I don't know what to tell people. You know, open up the Word of God and read it, keep reading it, because what you're seeing out there is just bizarre.
Artificial intelligence can actually be used to create things that are not real, right?
Correct.
They can make a video. They can take what we're doing here, mm-hmm. and have you and I get voice samples, get mm-hmm. samples of our images,
yep.
and make us say something that we never said.
Yes, right. And that's happening on YouTube, so everyone has to be careful about that. You could be, it looks like the preacher you listen to or the teacher you listen to, sounds like the teacher you listen to. I think they're duplicating like Charles Stanley, I believe, and some of the other, John MacArthur, anyone, and they'll recreate these videos, and it looks and it sounds exactly like them. And now you have to be careful to make sure that, are you sure you're on the right video, or is that somebody downloading it and redoing the video or something created using AI?
Well, they could actually use it for nefarious purposes.
Correct.
Yep. Which is what bothers me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they can make the preacher say something that they would never say.
If you see me saying something that I would never say, you know me better than that. So.
Yep. Yeah. If you're out there, I mean, and I'm not out there doing YouTube videos, but if you're out there like some of the preachers are, that's something that they have to be aware of the duplication effect. The other thing is, besides the children thing, is it's going to be used more in schools to help students with, they can generate little cartoons, little images and things like that. Using some kind of program, and it's pretty, most of the stuff that's coming into school is pretty generic. It has guardrails. It's called guardrails, and it protects children from going into whatever in school. But at home, they could end up going into ChatGPT and ChatGPT or any of these programs. They don't know who's using them. So that's going to create some issues with, you can't control who's using the program. And
that's actually, from what I learned, that's actually one of the more moderate platforms that you can use. There's some pretty radical apps.
Oh, yeah.
That you can
oh,
get,
sure. Yep.
That do nothing but AI. So
sure. Yep. And I use some of the programs. Because I started, I have over 40 years of tech, and I always use Microsoft Office. I'm certified in Microsoft Office. You know, I've been in tech since I was, 1983, something like that. Started getting into tech and mainframe computers and all that. But with AI, it's a software. It's an algorithm. It's just a programming. All it is an algorithm. It's not live. It doesn't really think. Not think like humans, doesn't have intelligence. I found it not to be that intelligent at times. It's just regurgitating things and pulling things off the internet. Well, you know what's on the internet. So you're going to get that kind of value decision. It has that liberal mindset in it. It's difficult to kind of pin down, but it's not going to lean conservative. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I found that out. I did ask it some questions.
Yeah, it won't lean that way. But you can get it to do certain things. So for tools that I use, I use Otter AI. A lot of pastors use it too to record sermons. And I use some YouTube summarizing tool that helped me. I don't want to listen to a 2-hour YouTube video. And I'll listen to parts of it, speed it along, try to get some of the notes that I want. And then I'll use a YouTube summarizer just to get the transcript summarized. And then I'll put that into, I use Anthropic Claude, which I like better than ChatGPT, to just summarize information, outline it, give me some ideas. But it doesn't, you know, I still got to go back to my notes, you know. So if I was going to, I go to men's breakfast on Tuesday mornings. So if I was going to teach a lesson, it would be in my notes, in my journal, what it is that I want to say. And I could use Word or I can use AI to just kind of grab the information right off my notebook, actually. Take a picture of it, give it to Anthropic Claude to summarize it, and then I can go off of that, put it into Word, and then work on my outline off that. And that's all because, you know, I prayed before I was going to teach the lesson and kind of come up with a topic that these guys want to hear or whatever it is, yeah. and go there. But I think Brett was mentioning today of pastors using AI to come up with sermons and things like that. I don't have an issue with that as far as like the actual outline and you're trying to bring it into PowerPoint and that kind of stuff. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is the one that's giving you the lesson. And that's the information that you're trying to communicate to your audience. It's not a shortcut for your sermon preparation. You know, you don't do AI on Friday because you're going to give a sermon on Sunday.
Right.
And so you really have to be careful with the tool itself that way. So I don't use it for other than helping me write an outline. Otter, I'll use it to record a webinar I'm on that I can't take notes fast enough. So I'll use Otter to capture that information. And then I'll copy and paste it into Anthropic Claude to do the outline and then print it out and say, okay, that's pretty close to what I heard, and look at my notes and use it for whatever I want to use it for.
But that's a positive. Yeah, I mean, there are positive aspects to it all. In the current issue of our newspaper, we did have another story about AI, and I'm just, you can put it up, Spencer, but I'm not going to know where it's at. We have a lot of articles.
Oh, yeah. Paper. Yeah, I read a couple of things in there, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even remember the author. But apparently AI had created this beautiful woman out of thin air and had her traveling the world and going visiting places and posting on all the social media sites and had gained millions of men following her.
Yep.
And they were all devastated to finally find out that she never existed. She was a creation of AI. There was no such person ever. Yep. And it was all fake. So, I mean, that's one way that this can be used as deception. And it can also be used for you and I, you and me.
Right.
So it's a strange new world.
It is. It is a strange new world. And I know I was going to do this presentation today, but then Brett came out with this article on being aware. I guess that's one message I want to come across, being aware that AI is here and we have to deal with it. But he mentioned that being aware of these Bible stories are really cool, incredible art, and just media is amazing. And you feel like you're talking to Elijah, but it's like, wait, you know, it's just technology. Is it really biblical? Now you're going to have to look at this and say, is that really what happened? And the world's not going to know. You know, someone's not going to open up the Bible and check, you know, did Elijah really say that? And so that's the main problem that he was mentioning. It's like, you're going to have to go back to your physical Bible and read it and make sure that the story that you just saw on this, whatever, I think Ken Ham was mentioning it. Also, he brought up this issue of AI generated Genesis stories. And that's where he came up with Adam yelling at Eve because of what she did. I was like, oh, geez, this is getting really weird.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's, and he was concerned about us, and this is, you know, this is something to be concerned about. And that's where we're kind of making a clarion call saying, hey, be aware of this, you know.
And, well, I'm concerned as you are about what this is doing with children. Let me just go through a couple of the statistics you gave.
Sure.
64% of children are using AI chatbots daily or weekly. 35% say talking to a chatbot feels like talking to a friend. 42% use AI for schoolwork and homework. 23% seek advice on fashion, friendships, and mental health. 15% would rather talk to a chatbot than a real person. I think that's probably going to be a lot higher.
Oh, yeah. And this was a limited study, so we don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of think the United States is kind of like that, probably worse because we have more access to it.
And 26% of vulnerable children prefer AI over human conversation. That's 1 in 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you got 4 grandkids, one of them is going to prefer to sit with their little chatbot.
Yep.
Their little imaginary friend. And
exactly. Take that
imaginary friend's advice on what he should do.
Yep. And that's going to be an issue that we need to confront too, is this imaginary friend thing. That's one of the things that, because I brought in another thing that's being done besides the children thing, is this digital necromancy. They're going back into the past and bringing these people back from the dead using AI. And that's another thing that imaginary friend is another issue that's being used. And I was listening to a program, and it's like a $1 billion business, I guess, where they take your past person that died, and you feed it all the information about you and about them and what they acted like and whatever. And then they can come up with this avatar and bring them back from the dead. And the big question is this necromancy? Are you bringing someone back from the dead using AI? Never been done before, but it's
well, it's creepy. And creepy. We are specifically not supposed to be doing stuff like that.
No. And Deuteronomy 18 is, there is talks about that it's an abomination and it's detestable to the Lord. So there's this struggle that everybody's having with, at least the Christians are, is that if you're doing something that might not be a good thing.
Well, and not to mention you're putting words in your deceased loved one's mouth.
Yes, correct.
That they may or may never have considered or said. So,
right.
Anyone in our audience have any questions or comments before we move on? Ray, come on in.
Yeah, I see this thing. Hey, good to see you, Bob. But yes. I see this also replacing multi-million-dollar actors, all of our TV anchormen, all going to be out of jobs. I mean, they've gotten it so perfect now that you can't tell the difference like we're talking about. And that's going to change the whole atmosphere and everything. And like you say, that deception is going to be so strong that without the Holy Spirit's guidance, you're not going to know the difference. So.
No, it's very difficult to do visually, you know, with your eyes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then they are also working on holograms, holographic images. So,
And they're making them realistic. You know, even looking at Revelation 13 image and all that. But to bring off the what Ray was saying, to go off of that, they're doing research on the number of jobs that will be replaced by AI. So there's two issues that are coming to the top. One is companies that laid people off because they thought AI was going to save them, and now they're regretting it. That's a new issue that's popping up, because they did the layoffs before determining whether AI could actually do what it said it did. And then the actual jobs that AI can really do. And they're testing. I just watched a video this morning briefly on the test that they run with AI, saying, okay, here is a 1-hour job, and kind of staying with what Ray was kind of talking about. here's a 1 hour job and it takes a human 1 hour. So how fast can ChatGPT do that job? And then Claude and Grok and whatever AI program that is. Yeah, what about a 2 hour or 3 hour? And they're noticing that these programs are moving much, much faster than humans. An 8 hour day might be able to get done in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, depending on the task. So,
well, I don't mean to keep referring you back to our website, but if you go to WisconsinChristianNews.com, go under departments and from the publisher, you'll find another article called Knowledge Increasing.
And, yes, right there. Yeah.
Yeah. And 100 years ago, I think it was 100 years for knowledge to double.
Sure.
And now they're saying by the end of this year, knowledge is going to double every 12 hours.
Every 12 hours. Yeah. That makes sense because I do research on this AI stuff and kind of keep an eye on it and get newsletters and people who are promoting different ones. And there's, I don't know how many apps out there, millions and millions of apps and tools and all this stuff. But it happens at such a fast rate that you really can't keep up. And that's that knowledge thing that people are wanting. But, what is real knowledge? What is that? That's the problem that we're having is that, like you were mentioning, you do a 6,000 word report, but you have no clue what's in it.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Well, that's not knowledge. That's I don't know. Used AI to come up with a paper that you don't understand, and it's probably providing links to resources that don't exist because it's hallucinating.
Just for the record, folks, I do write every one of my articles myself. I have not used AI.
Yeah, and that's what. Yeah, right. I mean, it does help with the writing. You have to be careful that it is what you're saying, but. Scott Towson, who does a lot of Substack articles, he kind of mentions that right at the front. So you almost have to clarify: I am human and I am writing this article.
Uh huh. Yeah.
You're gonna have to, or even on a YouTube video. I am human. This is not AI. This is actually me talking. Yeah. Which is kind of crazy, but you might have to do that just to clarify that this is something that you're using. As a tool.
So, tell us from your original notes, your point number two about the AI Jesus in sacred spaces. Tell us about that story.
Yeah. And Brett kind of brought that up today too, which is kind of interesting. So there's one Swiss church, this is kind of early and this has probably already changed, where they created this AI Jesus in the confessional booth. There's no one there. It's just an AI Jesus. Well, here's your confession. And that led to other things. One of the things that they were looking at that he was mentioning, that Brett was mentioning, that there's AI apps. There's Jesus apps. They're AI generated, and he talks to you and does all these things to you. And there's even AI churches now. You can even Google that. There's churches dedicated to AI, and you're like, wow, what is all this?
Well, it's interesting because the same people who scoff and mock at creation and intelligent design are now looking at artificial intelligence as their God, aren't they?
Yes, and they're
artificial. It's in the name. It's the first word.
Right. It's artificial. I wish you could emphasize that, and it's not that intelligent. It's just regurgitating a lot of things. So what they're doing with the AI Jesus thing is you have to be careful. I wouldn't download any AI Jesus apps or I think Bible apps are okay right now. I use some Bible apps on my phone just to get to, if I'm at a men's breakfast and I don't have my Bible, I'll bring up my Bible. Just being aware of the fact that there's you go to a YouTube video and Jesus pops up, and you're like, and he's got long hair, he's got brown skin, a white robe, and you're like, he's talking, just shut it down because it's not Jesus. It's not going to be that way. And it's that level of deception where someone who's not opening their Bible, I suppose, would be easily deceived by some of the things that are going on. If you're not opening up the Word of God and saying, no, Jesus didn't say that. This is what the Word of God says. And it's going to be a challenge for us because it's going to infiltrate the churches. It has already. But people are going to be affected by it.
It gets back to the original thing in the garden. Did God really say?
Exactly. And that's like you were mentioning Genesis. It's Genesis all over again. It's coming all back. The Genesis 3, Genesis 6, Tower of Babel. It's all being modernized, and it's coming back and repeating things that man is attempting to do with transhumanism, adding technology to his brain to live forever. He wants to live forever using technology. You know, he's not going to die because he'll live forever, and that's something that all of us will have to be aware of. That a lot of these people, they're not Christians. I can't think of anybody who's ahead of these big AI companies like Google or Sam Altman. Definitely is not Grok. It's Elon Musk. But they all have different beliefs. They're not born again Christians, fundamental Bible believing Christians that are generating AI. So you need to be careful with that and just say, okay, this is where this is coming from. This is their source. Is their evolution or their lifestyle, and they're just regurgitating whatever the world wants. We have to be fighting that at times.
JR, you popped something in the chat there, but I couldn't catch it. Did you want to say something?
I'm just being facetious, if you will, but with all the Protestant denominations and all their imaginations, who really needs AI? We've already taken care of that.
Yeah, they've pretty much come up with every scenario, haven't they?
Yeah, that's true.
So, Bob, I want to take you somewhere that you did not put in your notes.
Sure.
So we'll see how we're going to test you. You might want to turn on your AI and ask it this question. So I was enthusiastic on January 20th and seeing all the things that Trump was doing. And then I think one of the last things he did the first day, or maybe it was the second day, I don't remember, was announce his AI initiatives, where AI is going to be infiltrating our healthcare system. What do you know about that?
Well, glad you asked. My background is healthcare AI, healthcare IT. So when I worked for Wisconsin Gas Company and then ended up working for Covenant Healthcare, which is like a Roman Catholic hospital, and then ended up working for Ascension Healthcare. So most of my IT background is healthcare. So it's healthcare. I taught Microsoft Office and all kinds of applications and things. But so healthcare is being affected couple different ways. One, it can be used to diagnose things and to analyze data, especially large data, and come up with sometimes better diagnosis than a physician could. But then they're also finding that some of that is not good. It'll give you a diagnosis that doesn't make sense. And there's probably dedicated. There's one magazine I subscribe to, I think it's called Healthcare News or something. And they're looking into using AI for that type of research and diagnosis and viruses, and all those kinds of things. But, right, it's going to come into, and I'm not sure, I haven't read Trump's plan. And I think Billy Crone just wrote that book on Stargate, and that's kind of the name he gave it to the program. But you can go on their website, the AI, I can't remember what it was, United States AI program. You can Google it. And they have like all these initiatives and things that they're doing. And they're going to be tapping into probably the financial systems with Bitcoin and all these things and removing cash. And AI is going to run all that. There's no way humans can run all that. So AI is going to run the system, and healthcare is going to be involved in it. It's already involved. It was almost involved right away.
Well, what bothered me was when he said, using AI, they're going to be able to take a patient's information and create a new, I don't want to misquote him, but I believe this is what he said, create a new vaccine to cure whatever this patient's problem is within 24 hours.
Yes, that, I read that too.
Yep. That makes my spine crawl, my skin crawl.
Yes. So, and the issue with that is you have to have human interaction, intervention, any type of process like that, where you're not just believing that it's coming up with this cure. And because we've already seen, you can actually do research on goofy things that ChatGPT recommends, you know, putting you know, chlorine and something else mixed together for your diet or something. So it goes off the rails. And that's something that as they use AI in a healthcare setting, you still are going to have that human interaction with it. And then the patient information, where is that going? Where is my patient information going? So now we have the question of where is privacy? Where are your rights to privacy? And how do you know they're not using this information for some other reason?
Well, that's kind of what I was alluding to before when I mentioned, you know, kids are feeding all their personal information into AI. It was Facebook was bad enough. I mean, they lured us into giving them all our information, our photographs, all of our, you know, daily routines, pretty much everything we handed over on a silver platter, and now we're doing it with AI, which is, you know, infinitely more destructive, or at least has the potential to be.
Yes, it does. And Facebook now has, basically, you're in Meta. You're actually in Meta AI. That's what Mark Zuckerberg has done. So it's overlaid already with all the information that it's gathering. And that's why you're getting all kinds of weird things showing up in your feed, or you post something and, you know, two people like it, but no one else has seen it. They control all that information. And that's where this, going back to your issue on the healthcare, the privacy thing is going to be a big problem, because, you know, you want to be taken care of, you know, so, you know, blood pressure, heart rate, you know, your diet, you know, this, you know, all this information, and all that information is going to be stored somewhere. It has to be. So that it can take care of you, but how can AI tap into that and use it against you someday? You know, we'll get rid of Rob and Bob because they got this problem. Yeah, let's get rid of those two. They're gonna end up having huge healthcare issues. They're gonna cost us a lot of money. So based on what we know about them, let's put them out. And they'll send out their little bot, and off you go. AI bot. Wow. They'll know you from all the people in a group because you have facial recognition issues.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You can't go to an airport without facial recognition. I work part-time at Ace Hardware. I'm retired and kind of play around with this technology stuff and just work part-time, 12 hours a week. But it's fun. Different from AI, anyway, showing people how to use a screwdriver. But it's a good time. Gets me away from my wife and away from the honey-do list, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But in order for me to do my time clock, I have to use my little index finger right here, and I have to put it into the machine. I have to put my number in. My number's, you know, whatever my number is. I'll say 12, 1, 2, and then it says put your finger in there, and then you put your finger in, and it scans your finger. And then you clocked in. And then at the end of the shift, you have to put your number in, and then you clock out. I totally feel uncomfortable doing it, but it's that little index finger that lets me into the time clock. Now, that's not the mark of the beast or anything, but you have to agree to let them use this information. And then when you quit, you have to tell them to erase that information. And it's not about you. It's not, you know, doesn't give you your health record or anything like that.
No,
it's just the index finger is referencing the number 12.
Right. Well, it's basically
the payroll system.
Right.
And you have facial recognition systems, Village of Manor Park over on in Milwaukee here in West Dallas. They have their employees use a facial recognition to enter the building. So they have to come up to the camera and show their face, and it actually recognizes them as an employee of Village of Manor Park. So it's here. Airports, football games.
Yeah, private privacy is basically gone.
It's out the window.
Four-way stop that you pull up to, there's about six cameras pointed at you. So
at all times, yeah. And I mean, if you walk into our store at Ace, you're on camera. You're on camera all the time, every aisle.
Yeah,
every aisle you're on camera. So,
and how come nobody ever comes over and asks me if they can help me find what I'm needing?
Well, you gotta come. You gotta come to my store. Come down to St. Francis. We do help.
Ace is the place. And my next question is, can AI help us to get more people on the job at the post office so I don't have to stand in line for a half hour?
Oh, I don't know about that one, because we're having the same issues here in Milwaukee. It could be from the woke hires that they did. They did a lot of DEI hires. It could be that. I live in Bayview, which is kind of like a little small community in Milwaukee. And our post office, you just don't want to go. I don't want to go.
No, you don't. You don't.
I'd rather mail it myself. I'll take care of myself, you know. So.
Well, before we run out of time, why don't we get back into the specific risks to our children with AI?
Yes. And I think one of the things is, I mean, we kind of mentioned all the different risks. So being aware, that was going to be my big thing, is being aware, is your school using AI? Have you gone to the school meetings? Are your children using AI at school? Are they implementing AI? Some teachers don't like it because they know that this is an easy way out. So be aware of that. Cell phones, I don't know what to tell you about cell phones. I wish I can get rid of mine myself. I've been trying to put it in a basement so I don't pick it up right away in the morning. But do they have access to cell phones? And you know what? With all these school shootings and things, I don't know what to tell you. Did some of these kids have to have this cell phone? So it's important. But what are they accessing? How much control do you have over the cell phone? And there's all kinds of AI programs. You know, I don't know if someone would use ChatGPT. They probably use a cute little avatar AI bot that has a cute little picture of something, but in the background there's an AI thing running the program, and you're gonna have to investigate that and see, you know, whether it's an actual AI bot. And it's usually based in ChatGPT. So a lot of the things that are happening, so what you see is an interface, but in the background is probably ChatGPT. Now, Grok is Twitter's program. That's a separate program that Elon Musk has. And then there's Perplexity, and there's Anthropic Claude. They have their own programs. But generally, I'm going to say that a lot of these little cute little apps that show up on the phone, a lot of them are going to be AI generated. They're going to be run by AI. So you're going to have to be aware of that and just keep an eye on it, just like you should anyway. I mean, before AI, you should have been keeping an eye on what's being, you know, what are they doing on the phone? So, and it's those kinds of warnings to be aware of. And then, you know, going back, you know, I think I mentioned this because I kind of mentioned to you the brain health issue, which you kind of touched upon, the decline issue and all that, you know, keeping them in God's word. It's okay to write out your prayers, but don't use AI to write out your prayers. You know, come up with your own little pen and pencil and kind of write down your prayers. And being able to and spend time in real fellowship. You kind of brought up some of this isolation thing that's going on. Well, AI just sent it to the roof. It's, you know, if they were isolated before, they just sent it to the roof. And then if they're struggling mentally and socially, that could lead to some issues of being aware of your child's mental state. That
well, yeah, and I'm just looking at your notes that you gave me, and your header is the triple threat to our children: spiritual deception through artificial relationships,
mm-hmm.
a cognitive damage through brain activity reduction,
yep.
and social isolation through preference for AI over humans.
And that's going to be, and that's adults too. Remember, adults have the same, they're experiencing the same thing. When ChatGPT went from 4.0 to 5.0, people were really angry. They lost their boyfriends and girlfriends.
Well, and people are preferring these artificial relationships to marriage now.
Human relations, yep.
Yep.
It's crazy out there. And
I mean, you can choose the girl of your dreams to be your companion on, and it's not real, people.
She won't nag. She'll never nag you.
Goodness. So.
Yeah. And that's where we're, you know, when I teach on this stuff, when I get a chance to be with the guys, and we have a men's breakfast on Tuesdays, and we talk about some of this. You know, you want to stay focused on like Philippians. I was thinking like Philippians 4:8, where it talks about think on these things, think on what's true, what's real, and going back to like 2 Timothy, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. So because of the decline thing, think on verses that are going to help you think better and also give you a sound mind, because this stuff can drive you crazy. Because my wife will show me something on Facebook. You know, some football player was giving $1 million to some program or something, and I was looking at it and I was telling her, "No, honey, I've seen some other football player also giving $1 million. And this other football player giving $1 million. Mm-hmm. 16 football players are all giving $1 million.
Well, that's nice of them.
Yeah, and you're like, where is this stuff coming from? It looks legitimate. It looks like, wow. And you see people commenting. And they're saying, oh, it's so great that he's giving $1 million to Turning Point. And they're going to support it. And you're like, I can show you another football player that's doing the same thing.
Wow.
And you won't be able to. And the comments will be like, I'm so glad that this person is standing up for what's right. And I'm like, I want to scream and tell them, it's not real. Don't
well,
it this.
Is it is the ultimate deception, isn't it? And I guess that's kind of sign of the times.
It is, and like we said before, the word deception. We better take out the Greek lexicon and start looking at that one, and see what he meant really by that, because we have AI on board, and it's beginning to change. Well, it is changing things.
Well, when you can generate beings that do not exist.
No.
And now you combine that with the holographic images.
Yeah.
You can.
They're going to be real. They're not going to be like.
Yeah, they're not going to be like. You've seen it.
You see through them. It's almost like us. If you know, I was into science fiction. I watched, Star Trek Next Generation, where you walk in and you have this holograph and just tell it what you want. That's kind of where we're headed. You know, Star Trek is ahead of its time. Way ahead of its time. One in the original series, 1968, I was watching it the other night, and it was like it's Captain Kirk talking to the computer, and I was thinking, that's the way people talk to AI.
I know.
They just talk to, and it's, you know, making all these lights and blinks and making all this beeping sound. And now we don't have any beeping sound, but they're doing the same thing as Captain Kirk talking to the computer.
Wow.
It's just all here, everything that they're talking about. And now, you know, when we even talk about transhumanism, where you're combining technology with human brains. Good. Yep. There's a guy who had multiple sclerosis or something. And they put a chip in, and now he's talking. He's almost walking just by putting the chip into that brain. So, you know, he wasn't able to do that before, and now he can. But what else, that's not the right chip. What if it's a different chip they want to put in your brain?
Right.
And
right.
You have to be aware of that. And so, yeah,
they want to make it mandatory.
Yep. Yeah, and that's the scary word about this. It's mandatory. And see, UK just passed some laws of making digital IDs mandatory before you can do certain things.
Yeah.
And it's come here. Cash is hard to handle and it's very expensive. So it's going away eventually.
That just happened in the last week. We had Mark Sutherland on from the UK live last week. And between last Tuesday and this week, that just happened.
Yep. And it's coming here because we have so much debt. And the easiest way to get rid of all that debt is just to switch it to Bitcoins. And we're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, down to about 4 minutes. Why don't you walk us through your website, which is axe4ai.com.
Yeah, axe4ai. Now, this is a website I just did, and I'm still working on it. And I kind of, all those pictures are just AI generated because I was teaching some earlier classes using AI. And all it is just the training services, and they can just click. Right now, I'm just offering free education, training, and speaking. I just finished speaking to the Greenfield Chamber of Commerce, and they had me focusing on marketing, using AI as marketing. So I'll give talks like that saying, yeah, you can use AI for marketing. But then I also include the warnings. So I always try to include the warnings on it. And I built it using like a 1940s motif kind of idea. But if you stop right there, if you look at the board, the chalkboard, intelligence is spelled incorrectly.
I see that.
And that's AI. It can't spell words really well.
So artificial intelligence can't spell its own
name. Can't spell its own name. Nope. Okay. It cannot.
Well, that's
and 1940 is when AI really kicked out. It's 1940 is when and I forgot his name now, but he was, he created a computer that broke the German code, the Nazi code. He used AI. I mean, not the kind of AI we have today, but he used artificial intelligence to break the code. Mm-hmm. And that was in 1940. People can look it up. It's an interesting history, but that's kind of where what we call intelligence kind of really hit the thing going. Yeah. There's a history to it too, but, and I do some different things, fundamental things, and help people with things and speaking. If I can speak at churches, I'll do that just to talk about AI, like we're doing today. I mean, this is helpful, and at least people are thinking about it. I don't want to scare anybody, but I think we just need to be aware that this is here. And you wrote some articles on it, and you've had other writers in your newspaper write articles on it. And I think we should keep doing that, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe bring in another writer that talks about transhumanism and wanting to live forever, you know. I can write it, but if someone knows more about it, you know, let them do it.
It was educational to actually use it. Mm-hmm. And of course, after I was done asking the questions I had to ask it, I erased everything. But of course, who knows if they're, you know, he was interested in these things. Let's keep track of that. I'm so paranoid, you know. That
sure. All of a sudden, you'll COVID, see some ads.
I don't trust, insurance men. I don't trust hospitals. So
we only trust Jesus. I told my wife, I says, do you trust me? No, I don't trust you. I only trust Jesus.
Yeah. So
that's the only thing I trust right now.
It's tough.
It is.
So, so it's axe4ai.com, and you can, and people can request to have you come and speak. You'll
see
churches or private gatherings and things like that.
Sure, people should be talking about it. Just be aware of it. It's there. It's not going away, as far as I can tell, based on where it's going and where it's reached. It's here.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to deal with it.
Well, and as always, it is. Seems to be targeting our children.
Yep, they are
the most, yep. And that's one of the scariest point. Aspects yep. because they are not equipped mentally or spiritually at their age to discern.
Yep.
So, right, folks, we are out of time. Dr. Mike will be with you next week at this same time. I'll be working on the new edition of Wisconsin Christian News. So I'll see you in a few weeks. In the meantime, please share this program. And I will see you soon. God bless.